Jewish nation, the spirit of Elijah and of Moses will be replicated, so that
in the Jewish nation,
yes, Israel,
literal Jewish nation,
yes, Daddy,
you are entering doctrine, and this is one of the problems we have in the last days. Entering doctrine. When the Lord speaks of the Jewish nation in Scripture, it's not literal Israel. Romans chapter 2 says, "He is a Jew which is one inwardly." I'm a Jew. I'm from Nigeria. What makes me a Jew is inward, not outward. Literal, physical Israel today don't respect God. Don't value God. They have deviated from God. They are releasing weapons, releasing bombs. But they cannot be killed because there is a covenant over their life. God spoke that anyone that fights Israel, he will be called the literal Israel today. If you go to, I went to where Paul preached, you know, in Rome. I said, they should show me. The person that took me to where Paul preached, the place where Paul preached, the very place Paul stood where, you know, heard of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 when they were arrested. Do you remember the story? When they prayed and rest. Somebody took me to go and see the place. The person that took me there, as he was taking me there, was smoking. So you expect somebody who sees that kind of place to be on fire. They have lost value. That's what it is. When people are too accessible to something, they lose the value for it. People that come to church late are those that live close to church. Are you aware? People that are not serious of value and anointing are those who are workers in the ministry who are close to the anointing. It's everywhere. They get so familiar, and that's what's happening there. So, on that of the Jews, that last explanation, I don't agree. Continue with other things you're saying.
And that's the spirit that will rest upon the church, and it will be so great that what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard.
You mentioned one thing that he mentioned. So for now, two of you, every other thing you said, I don't agree. But this, what's it called? That last word you mentioned, what he mentioned is something you said. The candlestick is not the church. The candlestick is the spirit of God. When God says, I'll come and take away your candlestick, was God talking about your spiritual life, your fire, not the church. There is candlestick in the church, okay? So we'll explain that. But for now, two of you. Okay, give me a hand, clap. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. I'm impressed with your explanation, yeah. Number four. Okay. Where's your Bible? Where is it? Raise it. Okay.
The believers and the spirit of the last days. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, it told us that in the last days, so many people will be proud, they will be blasphemers, they will be unthankful, they will be unholy. They will value the things of the world more than the things of God. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, it also told us something. He said, denying the godly things and doing the things of the world. Praise the Lord. Like in he gave us some key points. He said, in the last days we should stay awake. In Matthew 24:45 to 48. It also told us that in the last days, it will be the days of the Spirit. And many people will be brought to Christ.
It's okay. You have mentioned something again. How many of you have not? You can pick what they mention and I applaud them. There's one word.
And there will be signs and wonders.
It's okay. It's okay. You go and talk now and spoil something you have said. Mention that. Are you sure I allow others to talk now? This explanations are so nice. I don't want somebody to come and spoil our minds with something very contrary. Are we done here? Okay, Elder.
Believers are the spirit of the last day. Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, in the last days perilous shall come, for sure some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. You find that the spirit of these last days, because of, as my brother mentioned, the worldly things that are abounding, the things that they are investing, things that are coming from the marine world, Christians are now confused. Now they are now giving it to following the things of the world. Instead of going to the Bible, the only thing that will save us from this spirit of the last day is to follow us, Bible in the book of Jude, chapter 20. He said, building up yourself.
Verse 20.
Verse 20. bringing down yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you, we have to curtail, as Paul said.
It's okay. I've mentioned it again. It's okay. I've mentioned that thing. So who knows the thing now? Okay. That is, I'm giving the expo to the next person that's about to talk now. So, whose hands were raised up? Okay, the lady here. I'll just allow two or three more persons then. We'll just.
If you go to Galatians chapter 5, when you speak from verse 9, he was talking about now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and such. We find out this is what is killing the body of Christ. And Paul was making us to understand. He said, you that said we should still not. If you are broken, you are yielded to the sins of the Spirit. You are walking in righteousness. The only thing that will help us as a believer is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why Paul was saying, if you are for Apollos, you be for Apollos. You are for Christ, you should be for Christ. When you say don't steal, don't fornicate, you find out that these things are eating deep in the church, whereby fornication is everywhere, idolatry, seditious spirit is everywhere. That's the reason why when 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 said,
there are people that don't fornicate, they don't lie, they don't steal, so they are living pure.
So there are things, when they live, there are people that don't do that, but in their inner mind they are not broken for righteousness. The only thing that, when you don't,
you are talking like we are quarreling, so I'm happy you don't quarrel. Because even this one you are doing now shows you have temper, and that's part of the problem of the last day. The way you are talking, I can see temper. Who agrees with me? If you are spiritual, I just saw that you need to work on your temper. It's also spirit of the last days.
So you find out that?
No, it's okay. We just found out that you have a temper you have to work on. Calm down. The way you are attacking, you have to calm down. Jesus loves you. Amen. Okay. Do we still have to continue? Okay, let's hear from one or two more people. You did well. You mentioned something. Man, when you should stop there, you continue. As if there's somebody here you have in mind.
Thank you, sir, for this privilege. The topic, the believers and the spirit of the last day. So the spirit of the last day, there will be speaking in tongues, fulfillment. They will receive the spirit of speaking in tongues.
Uh-huh.
And according to Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he said, afterward, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your old men will have dreams, and your young people will see vision. At that time, I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, both men and women. I will give warning of that day.
I know. Talk now.
So on that day, on this the last day, there's a wind. The moon will change to red, and then there will.
Is this Allah? We are doing the last. Are you a member here?
Yes, sir.
For how long?
I cannot say 6 to 7 years.
Okay, what department are you?
Chorister.
You are in the choir, no wonder. Please face your singing, not preach. Face your singing. You say moon will change. It's Allah. Want to shoot gun so that the moon will change. But you did well. You started well. The scripture you picked was very good, but your interpretation is like you are modulating, moving from auto to tenor to bass. So stay in music. brother, you will not be forgotten in life. Oh yeah, speak before we come back.
Hallelujah.
No, I didn't approve you, sir. I didn't approve you. I didn't approve him. So we're going to stop. I think we're going to stop there. Let's. Okay.
Hallelujah. In John chapter 2, verse 28, John prophesied the last thing God will pour out.
No, she has said that. She has said that. Say another thing.
So the Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, verse 17, that's where the scripture has been fulfilled, which the John prophesied. In John chapter 2, verse 28, he said that the last day God will pour out the spirit upon all flesh, and the son and the daughter they shall possess. I believe this is the last day for all believers to open up to receive the promise of God, so that they can.
So that they can what? Huh?
So that they can receive the promise.
They should open up to receive the promise of God, so that they can receive the promise.
So that they can receive the promise of God.
Okay. All right. All of them did well, but Michael Goldman, stand. Temileni, stand. Sam, Abraham, stand. Among the three of them, who was the best speaker? Okay. Michael Goldman is number one. Temileni is number two. Abraham is number three. So if you say number one, raise your hand. Put it down. If you say number two, raise your hand. Put it down again. If you say number one, raise your hand. Put it down. You say number two. Hey. Put it down. You say number three. You say number three. Okay, so which is more? Which is more? If you say number one, raise your hand for number one. Hey, some just raise their hand now. You say number one, raise it. Put it down. You say number two. It's number two. So number two is the best. So at the end of the service, they will give you 20,000 in an envelope. You are not paying people for studying the Bible. We are just encouraging people. This church is a word church. Do you agree? All right. I said, do you agree? Amen. We make reference to some of the scriptures. They quote 1 Timothy 3:1, 2 Peter 3:1. In the last days, it says, perilous times shall come. And the hardship, the troubles of the end time, the scarcity, the limitations, the poverty, contribute a lot to our Christian faith, our Christian life. They are not supposed to swallow us. But this is the problem we find ourselves. In 2 Peter 3:1. Now, let's read the message version of 1 Timothy 3:1. The message version. Whoever is on the console, bring out the message version, so that message version explains words plainly. Deeply, but plainly. Who's there? Who is on the console? Who is on 1 Timothy 3:1, the message version? This know also, message, not King James. Message. 2 Timothy 3:1 rather. Message. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. So, you see, that word perilous time speaks of hardship. Hardship. You say, a time is going to come that things will be hard ahead. Go on. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse. Now, let's take it one by one. Self-absorbed. Self-absorbed. Can you follow me? Lovers of themselves. And we see that happening in the church today. There are people, don't distract me. I'm preaching. Don't distract me. Stop it. Self-absorbed. If I'm going to pray for you, let me finish preaching. Anything that interrupts a message is not of God. Self-absorbed, lovers of themselves. And we discover today, let me paraphrase that. Whatever you do to people, first of all, ask yourself if you can take it. So we see victimization in the church because people are trying to promote self. Lovers of self, self-absorbed. It says money hungry. Today we discover, if we call church now, I'm not saying unbelievers, Christians, and we call for something that has to do with a reward, this place will be filled up. This place will be filled up. When people do things for church now, they want to be paid. They want to be paid. They want to be paid. People want to do things. People just want reward for everything. Money hungry. And I've discovered something about money. When you don't respect it, that's when it comes to you. When you pursue it, it never comes. I know what I'm telling you. Until you kill that appetite for money. Until some of us can't. You can't say no to money. You can't say no to money. You can't. You can't see money and walk away. What you walk away from determines what comes to you. Your ability to see money with your eyes is offered to you. You say, I'm not led to take it. Somebody met Peter and said to Peter, I said, he offered money. Simon the magician. In Acts chapter 8, he offered money to Peter. He said, I want this Holy Spirit. Peter said, your money perish with you. How many believers can say that? Can look at somebody who is offering money for them to compromise and they say, your money perish with you. We place so much value today on money. That today people now believe that when they have money, it means that God is blessing them. Am I correct? They believe that when they have money, praise the Lord, somebody just sent me, I just received an alert. What did you do to get the alert? God now sent me a helper who now trained me in school. If you find out very well, the helper is an immoral partner. That's not a helper. Lovers of money. People love money. It says, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents. There are people that will tell you that if your father or your mother behaves wrongly, give it to them. You know, I was saying the other time that the president should be respected for his age. Somebody said, when an elderly man behaves like a child, you treat him like a child. You see, logical spirit. How can you call a pastor your father? For what? Is he your father? Where's your father? And when they are talking, they think they are making sense. They have thrown away values. Is he your father? Don't you have your father at home? If you see your father, would you know your father? Calling somebody your father. Say, your father. Values are dropping. And when you try to tell them the essence of placing, giving honor to whom honor is due, they say you are being brainwashed. You are letting them brainwash you. You are letting them deceive you. You hear people say, that's why I don't go to church anymore. As if church is missing you. If you say you don't go to church, we don't miss you. To parents, so all the values, what it meant by all these things is said in 2 Timothy 3:1 is that in the last days, values will drop. Verse 3. Dog eats dog. He said in the last days, one of the attributes will be dog eats dog. Who knows what dog eats dog means? Who knows what dog eats dog means? Clap for him. Not immorality. Survivor of the fittest. Who knows what survivor of the fittest means? Yes. Okay. Competition. Survival of the fittest is in the place of plenty criminals, the smartest criminal. Do you get that? The smartest. You have to open your eye. You don't have to be a mugu. You don't have to be a fool. We see that even in the church. Long leg. There are people that are assigned to positions, assigned to do things because they are the smartest. They are close to the leaders. Is it true? Dog eats dog. Has he entered the church? Yes, sir. Has he entered the church? Yes, okay. So, God was trying to explain all that to us. It's a slanderous, impulsive wife and all that. But that's not my emphasis. I'm trying to make reference to some of the things they said. The last days, the spirit of the last days is a spirit and it can only be silenced by another spirit. And that's why
I was listening to everybody to wait for one word. If you want to know the spirit of the last days, the what moves with it, you can study your Bible, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And when you see Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, when he was talking to the seven churches, when he was talking to the seven churches, five were dead. One was dying. One was alive. Five were dead. But they were still doing church, not knowing before God they were dead. One was dying. The church in Laodicea. That is why he told them, he said, you are neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. Because say, your own now, I don't understand. You are not cold. You are not hot. So you are not dead. You are not alive. That's why I use the word dying. He said, you are not cold. You are not hot. Today, you love me. You hate me. You cry. But you step out there, you compromise. When you come back again, genuinely from your heart, not you are not pretending. You cry. You want to know this God. But you come out again, little pressure, you compromise. You say, who are you? The other ones, if you see, can we read it? Let's read it. Because Laodicea church age was the only church that I'm going to show you something. The only church that he commended was the Philadelphia church. And that was a church of love. You discover he commended them because of their love for him. That's what's going to keep you in this end time as a believer. Your love for God. Not for miracles, not for testimony. Love for God is what carries you on even when things are not working. Even when you are praying and you are not seeing results, your love for God is what keeps you. That's one of the key points to surviving this last day. Love God love God passionately. Love God unbridled. Okay, Revelation chapter 2. Let's read it. Verse 1 to verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 7. Revelation 2, 1 to 7. Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus. Okay, look here. It establishes something. Every church has an angel. Every commission has an angel. There's an angel of a commission. If you see all the churches, it started by saying, unto the angel, unto the angel, unto the angel. The mandate of that commission is given to the angel of that commission. It was the angel of the commission that was being addressed. So take this message to them. So when God wants to pass a delivery to a commission, he passes it through the angel. When somebody goes to bed and says, and I saw Papa, and I saw Mama, it's not me, it's not Mama. It is the angel using our face to communicate to that person. The angel of, it's not me, I'm in my house, I'm sleeping. Mama is sleeping, but the angel carries our posture and brings a deliverance, brings help, is the angel of the commission. So the angel of the church in Ephesians, right. Don't forget, you remember the Ephesian church? The Ephesian church. If you go to the book of Ephesians, you will see how Paul was writing to them with high, powerful words. With all Paul wrote to them, it was the Ephesian church. He said in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask God. It was a church of power. But see what God told them. So all those people were doing noise. He says, no, go back to Revelation 2. He said, I hold the seven stars on the right hand and walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. Thou cannot bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried with them that they say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. Verse 3. Apostles, them means sent ones. As born, as patience, for my name's sake, as labored, as not fainted. Now, are you seeing good qualifications? They started well. That is the problem with all the churches. You go back to scripture. They started well. Go to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have something against you. Thou hast left thy first love. All these things I said were things you did before. You see, but now, you don't love me anymore. Verse 5. Remember, wherefore, when thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the works, the first works, or else I will come thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. Okay? That's why I was telling you, brother, that the candlestick is not the church. He was talking to the church now, and he says he's removing the candlestick. The spirit, the illumination that they had, he says he's going to take it out. He says, except thou repent. Verse 6. But thou, but this thou art, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. He that has ear, all the churches. That is how he ended it. He that has ear. Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22. Everything. He that has ear, let him hear. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So, if you will survive in this end time, what do you have to do? You must have a relationship with the Spirit. Because only the Spirit that tells you when you are deviating. He will instruct you so that you're going to hear the voice, say, go and pray, go and pray, go and pray, go and pray. Does it happen to you? Look, now go and pray. You see, go out. It's the Spirit that is trying to keep you. He wants to guide you in this wicked world. He wants to guide you in this evil world. So we see the first thing about them. They started well. They all started well. They started well. But they didn't end well. Many of us started well. You came to church with different motive. Four major things that shows the spirit of the last days. The spirit of it doesn't matter. The spirit of it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean. It doesn't mean. So I'm telling you, God checks the heart. God checks the heart. God checks the heart, but man sees outwardly. And what man sees can hamper his faith from believing in the God you talk about. In it doesn't matter, there are a dozen matters. In it doesn't matter, there are a dozen matters. It doesn't matter. You can pray, God understand. Must you stand up to pray? Somebody lie down and say, I can pray on my bed. Somebody say, do I have to fast? What about those people that fasted and nothing happened? It doesn't. You are trying to give excuses to the reason why you should keep spiritual value. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is merciful. It's another problem. God is merciful. God understands. Who is righteous? I beg you. What they say, they are not. Who is righteous here? Who is righteous? We are all sinners. But that's not what the Bible says. Did the Bible say we are all sinners? No. You see, all have sinned. Did it say all are sinning? All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. This is all are sinning. All have. God is merciful. God understands. He's a merciful God. And there is another teaching going on now. I call it the bondage of the grace teaching. One or two brothers left this church and began to send me messages to insult me. There were members here. And they were insulting me so much. All my teachings, they were sending me long page. Insult me that I'm preaching against judgment, demons dying, that I should go back and study my Bible. I've left what God said I should preach. That demons, this is not real. That Christ has paid the price. That speak against sin. That whatever any believer does, that God has made provision to forgive believers. Blah, blah, blah. It was getting so much. I kept blocking numbers. It's like they just prepared. I kept blocking numbers. It got to a point I couldn't take it anymore. I had to settle down to ask the Lord, who is this person? And I got it. So I replied him with his name. I had to ask the Lord, what is this? I keep blocking. So, I try. But when it got so much, I said, Lord, you know, this is not right what they are saying. Ooh, and the Lord told me. And while he was even here, while he was here, it was a problem. So I knew any form of teaching can move him. So when he said, so I now explain some things to him. I said, you do not even know grace. In Romans 6 verse 1, He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In Titus 2 from verse 11, he said, the grace of God will bring salvation unto all men, has appeared unto all men, teaching men to deny themselves. The grace that cannot teach you self-denial from sin is no grace. What they mean by the grace of God is the grace of God which brings salvation, Titus 2:11, put it up there, has appeared unto all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. But they tell you that grace means that Christ has done everything. Christ has paid everything. You don't need to bother about anything. Just live your life on. If you sin, we have an advocate with God. He has taken care of it. Thereby manifesting Galatians 2 verse 21 when Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Living soberly. Do you know what it means to be sober? What does it mean to be sober? Who can tell me what sober means? No, not serious, it's not. Who can tell me what it means to be sober? Sober. Eh? Repentant. Eh? Vigilant. Eh? To constantly reflect. That's a good one. To constantly remorseful. Yes. Remorseful. Okay. Reflectively. Okay. Yeah. Eh? 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 I didn't hear you, sir. Penitent heart. Meekness. To be broken. To be broken. To be submissive. Eh. Okay. To be broken. Yes, sir. Hey! Let's have for that, Baba. To always be on guard. What he's saying, if you must survive this spirit that has entered into the church. Let me tell you what the spirit of the last is. It's the spirit that makes you lose guard. That makes you what? Lose guard. People are praying, you sit down. I wonder, people don't know what sin is. Sin, that's what my daughter was saying here. There are people, I know people, who are on their way to hell and they married as virgins. I know men who naturally hate alcohol, hate anything, but they are living in deep sin of pride. He that knoweth to do something and do it not. To him it is what? When they are leading praise, they say, everybody stand up, you sit down, it is sin. Let us pray, you cross leg, it is sin. Let's talk to God, you are pressing phone, it is sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to what? To him. He didn't just say it's general sin, for to that person he has committed sin. He that knows what to do and does not do it, to him he has sinned. So he says, be soberly, always be on guard, be careful. Two things that can take away your guard: poverty and prosperity. When you don't have what to eat, it can make you compromise. When you are going through hardship, please, no matter the hardship you are going through, don't lose your salvation. No matter the trouble you are going through, don't lose your salvation. It is better to die in your problem in Christ than to live with a solution the devil gives you. It's better to die in your problem and you are with Christ than to go outside and the devil proffers a solution, because that solution will take you to hell. I wish I said something here. Once you are going through scarcity, you are going through lack, you are going through hardship, you are not married, you don't have a child, you don't have this, the devil will begin to bring suggestions to you. The devil begin to make you feel discouraged. You cannot pray because you are swallowed and overwhelmed with your problems.
You cannot fast because you are thinking of all the fast you have fasted, what has come out of it. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You are going through the battles of life. Once in a while you sit down alone and you are crying. And when you begin to cry over your trouble, you are undermining the power of God. When you start crying because of your experience, you are undermining, because how can you have the God that said be of good cheer and now you are shedding good tears? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. So why is your heart troubled? Anytime your heart is troubled, it's a proof that at that point you stop believing in God. That's why we have to be sober this end time. There are many Christians who are going through trials. I went through trial. I went through what hunger is. You will go through it. If God's hand is upon your life, it will make you suffer. You did what I said. And no matter how you pray, you cannot rebuke it. Because in the university of God, prayer does not avert it. You must graduate. Listen to me, I'm saying this to you. If you are following this God, you must suffer. I'm not saying you may. The suffer may not be financial. The suffer may not be material. There must be a point in your life where you will go through something that will put your dependence on God. These are the kind of messages we don't want to hear, but the truth. And you come and Jesus, he butter my bread, he sugar my tea. Jesus does not butter bread. He doesn't sugar tea. He doesn't butter bread. There are things you will go through. You see opportunities to make money that is outside of God. You walk away from it. You see opportunities to get something that when you get it, you come back and show to your friends. Enter a big car. Live a big life. And you walk away from it. That's true Christianity. You know, the Bible calls Christianity, it says, we are of the circumcision. Say Christianity is compared to circumcision. Following God is compared to circumcision. And we know the process of circumcision. If a person is circumcised, number one, they cut off something. Is that true? So if you are really a believer, what have you cut off? If a person is circumcised, number two, you go through pain. Sir, following God is painful. Somebody insult and abuse you. You want to abuse back. God says, shut up. It's a pain, no? Amen. Amen. So, poverty and hardship can make you lose God. Number two, prosperity, abundance, plenty. In fact, prosperity makes you lose God more than poverty. There are some of us now, God bless you, and you have a business transaction, blah, 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 outside. You've not been in church now. But you need to go for this business meeting. It's very important. You have to rush for it. When all of those things begin to happen, and you're able to keep yourself in check and say, no, today is Saturday. It's the time to open shop and make money. Because it's weekend. You close shop. You came to church. You're able to control prosperity. Those are the two things. Because if you watch Agog, Proverbs chapter 30, he said, do not bless me with more than I can eat, so that I do not become so full and say, where is God? Do not make me poor, so that I don't steal and bring reproach to your name. Hello? Many people can fast because there's no food. So you give them, say, 40 days. Ah, say, what is 40 days? I've been surviving for 3 months without food. What is it? But so it's very easy for them. When you say fast, it's easy because it's a normal lifestyle. They don't eat breakfast. They don't eat lunch. They eat once a day. So you not say fast. It's easy. But your ability to fast, when you open your fridge, there's all kinds of things inside. You open your deep freezer. You see turkey. You see goat meat. You see chicken. You see cow meat. You open your store, rice, beans, yam. You open grand oil, palm oil, all the oil there. You open this one and they say fast 40 days. Do you understand that? You see? Fast? and you are fasting. You have chicken in your house. You have goat meat. Your neighbor is frying goat meat upstairs. And you have goat meat in your own house downstairs. And the meat of the fast by 12. You're chittering on your nose. Everything. Ah! Ah! Jesus! One time we were doing life in the spirit here, and I went to go and preach somewhere. Hey! They will come. They'll bring breakfast. I said, we are waiting on the Lord. They say, we just brought it. When I open it, it was like a buffet. I'll see all this one, see all kind of fried things. I opened it, like all kind of fried. One of my pastors with me said, sir, when are we breaking? I said, 3 to 4, we'll pray. Say, ah! This is going on cold that time. I won't deceive you. I didn't blame him, because even me, I was looking at the food. Naturally, I'm not a food person. I don't eat much. But when I was looking at the food, see, this cannot demon at these people. Why would they bring this thing? I opened one of the places. See, correct pounded jam. Well, smoke was coming out of the pounded jam. See, granite soup. See, meat. I say, Jesus, if you deliver us today, we shall forever escape temptation. So they were looking at me. They said, hey, come back. Call the food, let's go out. As they're going, they're looking behind like Lot's wife. So I told them, I said, come, don't bring anything till evening, tomorrow. Don't bring anything. Ah, sir, what if if it's juice? Don't bring anything. What I'm saying is that they are bothered. Now, somebody who didn't see that thing at all, it's easy to wait till that 4 p.m. I don't get my point. But all of those things around you, when you are in a boat, you have to be careful. Many are dressing well because they can't afford bad clothes. Not because dressing well is what they like. If they can afford those expensive designer clothes that shows their body, can they still say no to it? So it's very important that we live soberly. It doesn't matter. Spirit of it doesn't matter. Has entered the church. Spirit of making men our standard is the spirit of the last days. Like Apostle Suleiman can be wrong. A prophet can be wrong. A pastor can be wrong. An evangelist can be wrong. But the word of God can never be wrong. Anything the word of God does not tell us, nobody should tell us. Anything the word of God does not teach us, nobody should teach us. The Bible says, if an angel appears and preach another gospel other than what you have preached to you, say, let that angel be cursed. Even if an angel appears now, I don't care what you think. I stand on the word of God. That's my own fortitude. When people came out, one came out the other time, I'm not going to call her name, and said she died. She went to hell. God showed her some men of God. She mentioned my name. You remember the tape? Eh? He said some are demons. Some of them are using fake power. When it got to my turn, he said, God said, I have left what he sent me to do. I'm a man of God, though. God told him I'm a man of God. He said that one now to, he said that to massage my ego, because he knew if he said I'm not a man of God, I will respond. He said, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. God knows it, but God said he has deviated. He should come back. Now, that is a good message. God can say that to anybody. There's no arrogance about it. But we must check the foundation of our statement. I died. I went to hell. I went to heaven. I saw God. That's not in the scripture. He's appointed to men once to die. After that judgment, you don't come back. You go. You only come back when you are brought back to life. And you could not have seen hell. That's number one. Number two, when the rich man in Luke 16 said to Abraham, send Lazarus to go back to earth. He said, no, there's a great gulf. Those who are here can't go there. Those who are there. So from scripture, you didn't go to heaven. You may have seen a revelation of a picture of heaven, but you did not go to the literal heaven, because if you go there, you are not coming back. Nobody's following what I'm saying. But it's possible to see a revelation. You can naturally, you don't even need to die. You can be fasting and God shows you a revelation of heaven. It's possible. But to say you went to heaven and you saw God and you came back. Nobody sees God and come back. You want to describe God and come and start describing him? No. You can see a revelation of it. So by the time you come back, guess what? When the lady came, she was doing things, selling tape, here everywhere. The man that was carrying her about to place in Lefton, they married and started the ministry. One other one came again, was insulting people. That one insulted everybody. Ah, when they come, all their own message is, don't wear your ring. Don't wear trouser. Don't wear your ring. Don't paint your mouth. That is all their message. As if holiness now is a dress code. There are people without earrings, without this. They tie their hair, but they have malice. Go through scripture and see the works of the flesh. You discover they are internal. They are always sins of the spirit. They are not external. Pride, lasciviousness, evil concupiscence. Can you see evil concupiscence? Is that the name of a cloth? Some of you don't even know what evil concupiscence mean. As I'm saying that, you're looking at me, evil it just means lust. Deep-seated lust. Now, all of these things are not things that you can see. But a believer, the Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men. A believer's dressing should be moderate. People should see you and not see a suggestion to sin. Jesus dressed well while he was in this world. John chapter 19, the Bible says, when they were tearing his clothes, he said it was woven from top to bottom without seam. He appeared well. But now they make it appear. So many people, you go to many places, you see them malice, hatred, but they're not wearing earrings. Hatred. Every other church is wrong except their church. That's lovers of self. So you have to be very careful. And you that dress anyhow, that feel we are under grace, so you dress anyhow, you dress carnally, you come to church. When you dress, look at yourself. Will this be a temptation to somebody? That thing you are wearing, will it be a temptation? Will you be the one to enter into the house of God and make somebody start thinking of sin? The Bible says, he that makes one of these little ones to fall, it was better he was not born. And even if he was born, they put a stone on his neck, make him drown in the sea. For them to be a stone on your neck, God is saying, you must sink. Oh, this is where you are entering. You must sink. You will not float. Why? Because there are sisters in church who deliberately come to church looking for who to tempt. Looking for who to tempt. Looking for brother. Brothers have come to church to serve God. But the sisters have ended up taking them to hell. They are seated. They are there. They are counting how many brothers they have dealt with. They are counting how many brothers they have destroyed. God will judge you. Some of them target pastors. Some of them target elders. Some of them target leaders, heads of departments. Brothers, when they see a brother is on fire, they target him. They must quench that fire. They are fire extinguishers. And there are some brothers also who enter church. They target sisters to destroy. Especially the ones they know are very, are in the lowest level, going through challenges in life. They support them to pay their rent and lead them to sin. Support them to pay their school fees and take advantage of them. And the sisters are there. Many have lost their salvation. Many have lost their faith. Many, as I speak to you, are even fighting over brothers. Two of us. In the church, you are quiet. That's why I know I'm saying the truth. Anytime you are quiet in this church, I know I'm saying the truth. You even see married women who have husbands and they are fighting over men in the church. If you know you didn't want to marry, why did you marry? If you know you want to be outside, why not stay outside and you have a husband? Two of you are fighting, keeping malice over another man. Meanwhile, you are protecting your own husband, but you are fighting for another one in the church. People give money to church and church
They believe now church. They have to control the church and tell the church what to do. Because they have been giving money. People now get angry. After last ordination, a few people left this church. Eh? You are not aware? There are some of them you used to see them sitting in front. They used to sit around somewhere, these kind of places. Those places. Their anger was that didn't ordain them. And I said, you. Because I wanted to test them. And the character showed. Because even if I had ordained them, the thing would still come out over time. Everybody begged. Some of them came, they begged me. I said, I will not ordain. I'm studying. I'm watching. And I did. God told me. He said, don't. Anybody eager to be ordained should not be ordained. Ordination is not deserved. It is revealed. Many left. And today, I hear they are making comments against me on social media, saying all kinds of nonsense. It doesn't mean nothing to me. Because you are disgracing yourself and showing that you are a disloyal person. When you walk out of a ministry, a wise man keeps quiet. A wise man. Don't say this is what they did to me. You are revealing to people that you are a person with no character. If your father beats you up and you stop coming home, you don't go ahead and arrest your father. Not to talk of when the issues on ground are issues that are spiritual. You don't come. People will bring money. In this ministry, people have come to give me money to be ordained. I know a woman who left this church with her husband. She came to me, carried seed. I think 600,000 or something. He said, I came to sow. Very stingy thing. She doesn't give money. She said, I came to sow. I said, keep it. Kept it in the office. I was, this woman. I didn't raise seed. I didn't come for anything. She came to sow. This woman. I said, this money, something they under. Let's be watching. After I came, and Papa, you know, deaconess in this church, there are very few. There are a lot of things I want to do, but you know, when somebody is just a floor member, there are things you can't do now, so you are just looking. I say, okay, 600,000. All right, 600. This one. I say, madam, never, you will not be ordained. He said, eh. It's okay. I actually brought them that seat to support the work. I say, it's still here. It's still here. So I opened the drawer and I gave it back. She collected it. That's when God told me. Those who are eager. There are one or two people we are called for the nation in this church. They said, no, Papa, I'm not qualified. I said, ordain me. Those are the ones that will serve. You don't run from it. I wish I was talking. You see, the place of humility in leadership. Praise the Lord. Please, if you want to survive these last days, you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a human being, it's a person. There's a difference between human being and person. Human being is bone, hand, water, this. But there are three qualities that makes up a person. That's why when Jesus is talking about him in John 15, John 16, John 14, you see, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, that word in English is called personification. He is a synonym. In English, it's a synonym. It's a word used to compare another word. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. When he is a, three things that makes up a person. Number one, will. Number two, mind. Number three, emotion. Ephesians 5:30, grieve not the spirit. So he has emotion. He has emotion. It can be grieved. When the Holy Ghost says, don't do this, you do it, it grieves him. You will just keep quiet. You may not hear from him for the whole day again. When you are going out, the Holy Spirit said, you hear that voice. He said, go back inside. You still go out. He will just go quietly. He won't talk to you again throughout that day. Maybe just be quiet. Thereafter, about 2 days again, may come again. Say, don't do this. If you say, you stay quiet, you may be quiet for a long time. That's how you operate. Until you say you are sorry, you are acknowledging, it comes back. So, Holy Spirit, I know I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He says, okay. He comes back. He begins to relate with you. Will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you read from verse 1 to 7, verse 8 to 12, it says, the Holy Ghost gives to every man as he wills.
understand he has a will. Now, when you say something has a will, it means that even if you already have your own will, his will can swallow your will. You are going, oh, I will marry this person. He can tell you no, and you don't argue. Someone said he wants to get married in Mozambique. He met me, said he wants to get married, and we are praying. And the Holy Spirit said he should not marry the girl. I say, bro, I don't know. The Holy Spirit just told me, don't marry her. He said, Jesus. He is a pastor. He lost his wife. So he was praying to remarry. He has two kids. I said, don't marry that person. He said, after 5 years, the only person, I said, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me, I don't know. But I want, because when the girl came, she was pakatoko, speaking in tongues. I said, ah, this is my pastor wife. The Lord said, don't. I said, hey, I told him. He cried. So he told her, he said, for now, let's just give ourselves some gap and let's pray. Less than 2 days, threat message, insult from different people. Oh, so after all, you want to now dump her? The young man said, what's going on? I said, let us spend time to pray. That character that was showing up was the hidden character. What helped him is that she has never visited his house. They only meet somewhere, they talk, he bought gifts, all their suits, all their shoes. She says she returned home. He returned them. I told him, I said, this character is the real character. It would have shown up inside marriage. Now he's married to somebody who is giving him peace. A pastor wants to marry. You don't need a champion on the pulpit. Church service is 3 hours, 4 hours. You spend more than 19 hours at home. You can't, because of 3-4 hours, kill 19 hours. You need somebody more at home than on the pulpit. So at the end of the day, that was the Holy Spirit having his own will. And he has a mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 3 verses 11, it says, what knoweth the mind of the Spirit? Can I say this to everyone here? There is a fresh relationship of the Holy Spirit that will descend on you to escape the errors of the last days. Amen. Rise on your feet, let me pray with you. You mean to pray this prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, in any way I've deviated, restore me. Anywhere I've deviated, anywhere I've been carried away, restore me. Anywhere I've deviated, anywhere I've been carried away, restore me. Restore me. Restore me. Restore me. I ask for an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Help. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Spirit of God, breathe upon me bread of heaven. Breathe upon me Spirit of the Lord, as I lift my hands in surrender to your name, Most High, I am yielding to your Spirit. I am walking in your love. Lord Jesus, I adore. Lord Jesus, I adore. Lord Jesus, I adore your holy name. I'm going to pray, Lord, help me to love you. Let nothing temper my love for you. Let nothing temper my love for you. Let nothing temper my love for you. Help me, Lord. Let nothing temper my love for you. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you for an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. As believers are compromising and they are falling by the wayside, you will stand. The Holy Spirit will help you. He will keep you. He will preserve you. He will sustain you. He will give you the baptism.
baptism of love. That when the Lord begins to talk to the angel of a commission, you'll be identified as a lover of God. Strength to stay on, strength to be on guard, strength to be watchful, strength to be careful, strength to be sensitive. The Lord help you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I wouldn't want us to go. Pastor Yari's daughter is getting married now, and someone else has even. John was on